First 2 weeks, we hit $40,000 in sales. Second month was $70,000. Third month, $300,000. 6 months trailing period, we're hitting close to $1 million in sales.
At Founder, we're on a mission to democratize entrepreneurial education and on the way to building one of the largest online schools in the world for entrepreneurs. We interview some of the greatest founders of our generation to find out how they did it so you can too. However, in this series, we're working with our students in the community who are deep within the process of building their own successful business. These are the founders of tomorrow who have stood where you are and on the way to building the business of their dreams. Now, before we jump in, our lawyers have told us to tell you this. Of course, we can't guarantee you'll have the results like some of the stories we're about to share. And as you know, with any business, it's a lot of hard work in addition to completing any online course. With that said, welcome to From Zero to Founder. Hey guys, Molly here. I'm Founder's Community Manager and welcome back to the series From Zero to Founder. Today I'm sitting down with Alicia Long, who is one of our Start and Scale students, who has invented an incredible product to help make plant-based products in your very own home. She has such an incredible story and shares so much advice that I think you will all benefit from. So let's jump straight into it. Hi Alicia, welcome. Thanks so much for sitting down and chatting with me. Why not start by introducing yourself and telling me a little bit more about your business?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Alicia Long, and I am an entrepreneur, and then my entire family, I come from an entrepreneurial family. So I moved to the US since I was 19. So my major is marketing. I went to the Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. So my background is a little bit in sales. I did 5 years in door-to-door sales, so hustling, bustling my way up to management, working with the biggest telecommunication company after graduation. So I really learned a lot about sales. And then a couple of years after that, I actually became a recruiter. So I'm very good at talking to people, and I enjoy chatting, about businesses. So I became a recruiter for the largest search engine firm, Google. So, and then a couple of years, I guess a year ago, I started to kind of had a feeling of, there's a piece of me is missing, which is entrepreneurship, working at a corporate. So I really wanted to build something on my own. And I was pregnant at that time. So being on maternity leave, obviously, I had a little bit of time researching like what I wanted to do. I'm a Chinese immigrant, right? So I actually drank a lot of nut milk. So that's when my mother made a lot of like nut milk and different kinds of nut milk, like walnut milk, sesame milk, and then mixes. So when I was pregnant, my mom was making those for me, and I really enjoyed it. And then I was looking at the market and just thinking, wow, there's a lot of, like, people also drink plant-based milk, but not a lot of people are making mixes, right? So like walnut milk with sesame and dates, and they have so many nutritional benefits. I really enjoyed it. I thought that people probably would enjoy it too. So, I was trying to make some nut milk myself, and then just realized the process is so long, and you kind of have to blend the nuts, and then you have to strain it using cheesecloth. So it's like a process. And I did a lot of search online. There's just not that many people are. There's not that many nut milk makers out there. So I thought, why not create something on our own? So me and my husband, actually, he's a mechanical engineer, and he helped me design this product. And that's when the journey began. That's kind of a long answer to your short question.
No, it's incredible. Yeah, I definitely love the story of how you've went from marketing to almost sales and then recruitment. And then you found your feet doing something that you love and so passionate about. And that has a really nice tie into your childhood and your upbringing as well, which is just like a full circle moment. So I really, really think it's quite beautiful. And
I mean, it's a perfect time really to create this product because at the moment I know in Australia and America and places all around the world, we're really kind of consuming a lot more oat milk, almond milk, macadamia milk, and so on. So this product I can see would just have been a perfect fit. I would love to know more about the conversations that you and your husband may have had when you realized that there was this gap in the market and how you wanted it to come to life.
Yeah, definitely. So I was drinking a lot of store-bought milk and, you know, purchased from grocery stores. And I realized that there are so many different kinds of milks. And I was like, wow, there's refrigerated milks and there's non-refrigerated milk. How do they stay fresh and stay on shelves for so long, right? Because I was trying to make it myself. And then if you have ever tried to do it before, and actually plant-based milk doesn't stay very well, it doesn't store very well. It can probably max, it can stay in the fridge for 3 to 4 days, but then it starts to separate. So it looks pretty gross actually. So I was like, wow, how do these milks stay on the shelf for like over a year? And that's crazy if you don't think that there is no preservatives in there. So sure enough, then we started doing some market research and there's so many preservatives like emulsifiers, gum, added sugars, anything that you can, like, I don't even know how to pronounce most of them. So, and then that's when I began to think like other people probably will start thinking like, wow, what am I actually drinking, right? Am I drinking the actual almond milk or am I drinking just overpriced water with preservatives? So that's when we really, start digging into the nut milk industry. So the market is pretty big. So the milk industry is like historically, it's like the third largest beverage that people consume. However, the plant-based milk is definitely starting to grow. So that's when we really trying to think like, how do we deliver that message to people that you can actually make it at home? You don't necessarily need all these preservatives. You can just use nuts and seeds and then blend it and you can consume it. So what differentiates our product with other machines that we really want to create something that is single serving, is sustainable, because there's a lot of people, a lot of our followers said, you know, sometimes I'm the only person who's lactose intolerant in my family. I don't need 5 to 6 cups at a time. I just need 1 cup at a time, or even just a little bit of creamer. So they found that our product is very convenient. So at the early stage of doing market research, we found that there's a niche market out there, not only is making nut milk, but also single serving as well. Because we're, a lot of people are like that. And if it's too bulky, like Vitamix, if I put it away, I hardly ever use it. So we want to create something that's aesthetically pleasing. It's something complimentary to your coffee maker. You can literally put it right next to your Nespresso machine and still be proud of your kitchen. So that we put that in mind when we designed the machine. And then also my husband with his mechanical engineering mind to design the, it is a patent pending technology, so that we have room temp, we have warm and hot. So, because we want to design this machine to be used for any type of nuts and seeds, even beans as well. So, because we realize that there are so many nuts and seeds and then or kinds of nuts and seeds that people don't even think of. But we can certainly have a device that we can, you know, basically use all different types of nuts and seeds. One thing that I realized is that a lot of American-based consumers, they actually drink soy milk, but they're all like store-bought milk, like Almond Breeze or Silk. So soy milk needs to be boiled at the boiling point, which is 212 Fahrenheit, I think it's 100 some degrees Celsius, in order to be consumed safely. So we wanted to create a product that can also be used on hot beverages too. And then, so our followers actually very creative. So they created all kinds of drinks and they actually said, you know, ditch Starbucks and we can make our own like peppermint mocha or eggnog and all those fun recipes, which we are creating community and I'm really proud of. Like I interact with them every single day. So it's really fun that, you know, people just have so many like good recipes that they're playing with.
Definitely. And you've touched upon so many really interesting points that I can't wait to talk about. But let's start at the start of what you were just saying. And you were talking more or less around how difficult it is to have the traditional sort of way of making almond milk and how your product really helps cut that in half. You also mentioned how product design was something really important to you. And anyone that's seen your product knows how beautifully aesthetic it really is. It definitely is something that you'd be proud to have on your kitchen cabinet or kitchen shelving, sorry. And it's compact and it's really, really beautiful. How did you manage to get something so beautiful, but something that cut the long process in half? Was it literally just a blender that you kind of created? Like, how did you actually formulate how to do it?
So I can't like, I don't have the engineering kind of, like I don't have the engineering term unless my husband comes in and he can explain it a little bit better, but, it's basically, instead of a large, blender, so we shrink it down. So obviously we have our particular, amount that we, it's designed for is anywhere between 8 to 13 ounces of beverage at a time. Because we did market search that that's typically what people drink, you know, one or two people or a single person that they want. Like 8 ounce is a cup and a 13 is about like almost 2 cups. And we wanted to design something that's smaller and then also the inside. If you go on our website, so actually the blades, it's a very fast speed blade. So it's designed to chop up any types of nuts and seeds. And it works more efficiently than a large blender. You have to put in so many almonds in order to make the whole batch. So if you just want 1 cup, then you only need like 2 tablespoons of nuts and about 8 to 13 ounces of water. And then you will have the beverage that you want. So it's the internal, I think a specific design that we have, the provisional utility patent and also the heat setting that is the unique brand proposition compared to other brands.
Definitely. And I find that so interesting. It's such a smart and innovative product because I know for myself, I go through so much almond milk, oat milk, etc. And it gets quite expensive, whereas you pay one price and you can make it so quick, so fresh at home. So you've definitely hit the nail on the head there with that great, great product. But you also mentioned how you're building a really amazing community, which as a community manager myself, I think is vital for a brand to grow. And I think it's really great that you speak to them directly. How did you establish a connection to begin with? Did you start with your Instagram page, a Facebook group? How did you really kind of grow that community to begin with?
Yeah, so actually, thanks to Start and Scale, I actually took the course when I was pregnant. You know, I had a little bit of time when I was on maternity leave. So I took Greta's course. So in a very short period of time, I learned the influencer, how to do influencer marketing, how to build a brand. So I really wanted to start with end in mind, basically is to create a brand instead of selling a product because, you know, per Greta, we don't need more products, we need more solutions. So, and then that's when I realized a lot of people actually have the same problem, which is, you know, they drink store-bought milks and then they realize it gets expensive. And then also there's a lot of preservatives and they throw away a lot of cartons. And that's when we want to position ourselves as a brand that we promote not only just the product, but also the solution behind it. And we wanted to keep a sustainability message in mind. So that's when we, you know, have a cost actually is every nutter you purchase and we plant a tree. And then there's a lot of consumers in, they're more and more aware of the sustainability message. And then they realize, you know, how much waste that you know, we produce on a daily basis. So I'm very sustainability driven. So I wanted to something, I wanted a mission, and I wanted to bring people along with me to be able to accomplish something great, right? So with that in mind, so we reached out to a lot of folks, and we did a marketing survey. So basically talk about like, what would you be interested in? And then sustainability is one of them. So we kind of build that community and then also tag different people. And then initially when we had an account, you know, with follower zero, and then I just follow a lot of people who also have the same similar mindset. And then quickly we kind of build an influencer campaign, which initially we didn't have that much money to invest for, you know, macro or micro influencer marketing. So I kind of just reach out, I literally DM them and I said, hey, we have this new product. Would you like to try, kind of be part of our like market research phase? If you want to try, and I can send it to you for free. And then all you need is to send me some feedback. And then if you're kind enough, of course, make a post, and I would really appreciate it. So we had I think it was like $5,000 budget. So we did send out quite a few machines. And then, so just to first collect feedback, second is to have some UGC that we can post on Instagram. And then over time, we just created a following. And then that's when we started to run some more robust campaigns, paid ads, etc. So the follower just grew and grew.
Hey there, Nathan Chan here, CEO and publisher of Founder Magazine. If you're enjoying From Zero to Founder and you want to learn from some of the greatest entrepreneurs of our generation, then I highly recommend you also subscribe and check out the Founder Podcast. We talk to some of the most successful people on the planet to discover how they're building their businesses. So you can take a front row seat as we go deep and we learn from some of the founders of brands like Netflix, Dropbox, Reebok, and so many more, and how they built these companies. You can find the Founder Magazine Podcast with Nathan Chan on all podcast platforms. Make sure you subscribe. All right, now let's get back into the show.
I love how you also mentioned about your influencer marketing strategy, because it's something that's so prevalent in any brand these days. Based on the feedback that you receive when you're sending out free products, are you still using your influencer strategy the same way, or are you using any paid influencers now, or is it mainly just to create those connections so you send it out for free?
It's a mix of both. So I would say to start, I definitely would encourage entrepreneurs to kind of take the lower cost approach, because we certainly did not have that much of a capital to play with. So I think playing safe, however, hustle, right? And then that was me and a social media manager that we hired. Basically, both of us, we reach out to like 100 influencers a week. So lots of messages, lots of contract negotiation. That was obviously months ago. I think it was almost a year ago. But that only, we only had to do it for a short period of time, probably 2 months. And then after that, we started to have more capital, and then we were able to pay some of the micro macro influencers. However, majority of our influencers that we are working with still nanos, which they don't have that many followers, but at the same time, they have very direct relationship with their followers. Like most of their followers are like their friends and family. So I would say they're very effective. So definitely recommend taking that nano influencer approach when people first start out.
Yeah, such great advice. And I'm assuming here that from this kind of user-generated content that you're receiving from these nano, micro, and macro influencers, are you then repurposing these in your advertising campaigns on Facebook and Instagram?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one is the user-generated content is very organic and genuine. And two is that if they feel comfortable, right, we will certainly whitelist them so that we help nanos and micro to grow their following at the same time, be able to have that content to use our paid ads as well.
Yeah, it's a really smart marketing strategy that I think a lot of people listening to this will definitely take on board as well. And it's great to just have those relationships. And as you said, in return, build that community and just grow a stronger brand. I'd love to speak to you now about getting in your first sale, because I'm sure after all this time of, you know, different career paths and then finally finding your passion, I'd love to know how you felt when you received that first sale from someone you had absolutely no idea who they were. What was that like?
That was kind of, I laughed because the first sale was kind of, I guess I didn't expect that because we were just doing some testing on the website, right? And then the Shopify we worked on, it was literally, we went live and I did not expect any sales until like we do some more advertising or marketing. But actually our first sale came from India. And I think there's a huge market there we have not yet tapped into, which, you know, obviously there's a large community of vegan and vegetarian. So they definitely do drink a lot of plant-based milk. And then so when the first sale came, it was like, I think it was like $165. And I was like, wow, like because our machine was our first generation was a little cheaper at the time. So I think it was like $120 some. I was like, wow, why do people pay like this much? And I looked into it. I was like, oh, they actually paid for extra like international shipping. So, which is ironic because we just got a PO, a large PO from India. That was like 1,000 units. And I was like, wow, looking back a year ago, like, you know, our first sale was actually from India, and now we're getting orders all over from New Zealand, Japan, India, UK. I mean, we are building our international operations. So it's really exciting that how much we can accomplish in a year.
Definitely. In a year is such a short amount of time. And to have that sale come through definitely would have just been the confidence boost that you needed, that you were on the perfect track to have a brand that everyone loves. And I think it's just testament because you've actually done some great revenue over the last year. Even in your first 2 months, I believe, you hit an incredible milestone. Would you like to share more about how you kind of grew so quickly and how you've managed to sustain that growth?
Yeah, definitely. So influencer marketing is definitely very effective. Our reason for that is because we did not spend any dollar on Facebook or Instagram ads. And first 2 weeks, we hit $40,000 in sales. So I was a little bit of impressed with our or surprised by our sales numbers. But I was like, wow, we can do so much. So and then over time, we grew from $40,000 in the first month. Second month was $70,000. Third month, $300,000. And then we just over time, 6 months trailing period, we're hitting close to $1 million in sales.
That absolutely blows my mind. Like, that gives me goosebumps. It's so amazing to see that growth and how you've managed to sustain it. Once again, it's just testament to the great product that you have, but also your brains behind it all. Like, you're doing a really amazing job and you're really helping people as well. And I think, you know, the further that you just create your product, like you've just brought out a second generation, I'd love to know how you've managed to market that second generation. How is it different to the first? Did you hype it up a little bit more and that continued to kind of scale your growth?
Yes, definitely. So we had a lot of feedback from the first generation, which was really good. You know, sometimes when I see some, you know, negative reviews, I don't see them as a negative because I believe every negativity, you can turn it into positivity. So we took them as our feedback for the next generation. So we had a little bit hiccup because the first generation manufacturer actually, there was a little bit of ethos issues. You know, obviously, this is also a lesson for a lot of entrepreneurs is that make sure like you vet out your manufacturer. When you actually find some resources, really do your homework because the initial manufacturer that we worked with It was not the ODM or OEM directly. So it was a middleman that we worked with. So unfortunately, the middleman also took our idea to sell it to somebody else. So we had to pivot. And then just in a matter of a month, we found another manufacturer that was a direct ODM, OEM that we work with. And we had to do a lot of changes on our design and utility, et cetera. So, and we did that. And then we did a lot of vetting. And this manufacturer is way bigger. And then the direct source manufacturer. So, and then we learned how to protect ourselves, right? So we have refiled all of the patents and made all the changes. So basically, and then also signed an exclusive contract with them. So basically, we're the only ones who have the mold, have you know, out of the own out of the production. So and that was a really good learning lesson, I would say. So luckily, it only took us, you know, I think it was 2 months to realize that we needed a new, stronger partner. And then on the second generation, we definitely did a lot of improvement while working with the manufacturer. And also we're still improving. So after we sold out the first gen and then the second gen that we are currently selling, we added a new color. And then now currently we're working with design firm on more colors and more functions and better, I guess the more functions, just a better usage for our machine. So it's definitely very exciting.
It sounds very exciting. And I think it would be great personalizing, like you said, something that's going to be on display and that any household can have and be proud of, which is also really, really great. You touched upon also how, you know, you're very transparent. There is ups and downs and many learning curves that you go through as an entrepreneur. How do you find or navigate competition? As you mentioned, you went through something with a manufacturer, they gave your idea to somebody else. And obviously, once people clue on that it's a great product, there's going to be competitors. What's your mindset and what advice can you give to people that might be worried about starting a business and then all the other competitors in that space or that niche? What would you say to them and how would you help them?
Be the first one. Be the first one. Definitely. You know, for me, I guess before the initial first couple months, and I did kind of had that feeling like, oh, what if other people also take the great idea, yada, yada. But however, I think I took, I listened to a book, it's by Grant Cardone, which is a great, obviously, a mentor for me. And definitely don't be afraid of what other people are doing. It's kind of a race of your own, right? So if you look around and see who's in front of you, who's behind you, who's beside you, and that's a distraction. So what I know the best is to hustle and bustle every single day. I don't really, like, I can't be distracted by what other competition is doing. So that being said, create your own strategy, create your own, you know, unique brand message out there so that you know, your competition, even though they're gonna copy you, they're just forever gonna catch up, trying to catch up. But if you're trying to catch up, then you're not the first one, right? So that's kind of my mindset, is that, you know, go out there, create a brand, create something that people love, really deliver the message and then try to put the good out there. And people like you, people enjoy your product, and then people's going to talk about you all the time. So that's how, you know, Facebook and Apple and all of them are created. So there are some, you know, overlap in some ways between all these, you know, top companies, but at the same time, they're all great on their own. So
Such great advice. And I think a lot of people will take that on board. I in particular, it's such great advice that I think we'll share with a lot of students that ask these questions as well, because it is quite common and people do get a little bit deterred. But as you mentioned, just be first, be, I guess, confident with your idea that you've got something great and no one can be you. I think that's the main thing that you're pushing as well, which is really, really great. And working towards wrapping up here, I'd love to know where the Nutter is going in the future. Do you have any plans in the next month, 2 months, 6 months that you really want to kind of grow and learn, whether that's revenue or product design?
Yeah, definitely. We have some pretty ambitious goal in 2022. So We are definitely looking to expand our market into retailers. So we just signed with Sur La Table, which is a big retailer in the United States. Anthropology is another one. And then we have, we're in meeting with QVC. And actually, if you are, I don't know, in Australia, if you watch a show called Shark Tank. So we definitely are, a lot of the press media starting to approach us, which is really exciting. And NBC and CBS and even UK. So a lot of, we are attracting a lot of attention for sure. So it's all very exciting. So I think in 2022, we definitely have the plan of doing a lot more sales in both D2C and also B2B. So we're on track. I think we're projecting $10 million in sales this year. So we definitely are very excited to build the team and also the infrastructure behind the brand.
There's so much to look forward to. And the year's just beginning in January 2022. Set yourself up for success. And I think it's great that so many people are approaching you because, as I've said again and again throughout this interview, it's such a great product. You're a lovely person. And to know that they just connect is just really, really inspirational as well. And my last question, as everyone who probably listens to this podcast knows, is my favorite question. If anyone listening to this is maybe in a similar situation where you were a year ago or two, what advice would you give to them if they wanted to start their own business?
Build a brand, not just sell a product. Build a brand, increase the perceived value that you can bring to the market, and follow your heart. I know it sounds cliche because when I heard it and I was like, oh, what does that mean? But really, whatever that you had in mind and you are passionate about, definitely, you know, grass is not always greener on the other side. Grass is greener when you water it. That's the best advice that I received.
That's great advice. And I love that little quote there. So let's wrap it up here. But Alicia, thank you so much for being a guest here today and sharing your story. I wish you nothing but the best. And I hope in a year or even 6 months' time, we can catch up again and see where you are. So congratulations.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really enjoy talking to you and thank you so much for everything.
Hey guys, we hope you're loving From Zero to Founder and you're getting a ton of value from it. If you want to access the exact free training that led today's founder to where they are now, head to founder.com or head to the link in the show notes.